Ian Willoughby finds out about a relatively unknown part of the work of the great Czech author Karel Čapek, his travel writing.
Karel Čapek was a leading Czech interwar novelist, playwright, and journalist, and is perhaps most remembered for works of science fiction, such as The War with the Newts and RUR, which famously gave the world the word robot. But did you know that Čapek was also a travel writer? His pieces from around Europe are the focus of the book In Search of a Shared Expression by Mirna Šolić, a lecturer at the School of Modern Languages and Cultures at the University of Glasgow. I spoke to her on the phone from Scotland. My first question is, obviously, Čapek is known as a playwright, a novelist and a journalist, but your book focuses on his travel writing. How much travel writing did he do?
Actually, he did quite a lot of travel writing, and as I stated, my book, his main opus, which is, as you mentioned, is, you know, fiction and plays and everything which is known internationally. That was done mainly, you know, from 1914 to 1938. So his travel writing also stretches throughout that period. So he wrote his travel book or travel narrative to Italy. He was in England and Scotland. And interestingly enough, he talks about England and Scotland separately. Then there is also a travel book from Spain and as well from Holland. And then he went to Scandinavian countries. But if you look at his opus more closely, then you will find that there are also many travel elements in his main novels and also his plays as well. So the travel writing is basically, I think, all across his opus.
And was his travel writing coming out mainly as books or also as articles in Czech newspapers or magazines?
He first started publishing his travel pieces in Czech newspapers because he worked for Lidové noviny, and then later on he published these as travel books because, for instance, when he traveled to England and to Scotland, he traveled at the invitation of Penn, and then he published articles, and then later on these were published as a book, as a separate book, yes.
And what sense do the books give us as to what kind of a traveler he was? Because I know he was in poor health for a lot of his life.
He was, and then I actually read some correspondence between him and Olga Scheinflugova, his wife. When he went to Italy, he wrote a lot to her about his Italian experience, and he actually mentions that he went to Italy in order to work on his other books, that he was quite, I don't know if I should say depressed, but mentally he was really unwell, so going to Italy was something that gave him another perspective. So I can't really comment on how difficult for him it was physically, but I think for him also going abroad was really to gain some, you know, the perspective on life and also on the conditions in his own country. So he reflected, I think, a lot on the Czechoslovakia also from being abroad.
And what was his aim with his travel writing? Was he kind of didactic, trying to kind of teach the reader something, or was he entertaining them?
I think it was both. It was very didactic because at that time, what he was actually searching for, and this is what I'm writing about in my book, was the search for the so-called primitive undercurrent, because that was the time of the avant-garde movement, of also avant-garde inspiration for what was known as the primitivism. So many West European writers were traveling to distant countries and to exotic destinations, and that was some sort of a response to the First World War, because they were, so to say, searching for home. But for Čapek, I think because, you know, he was so much engaged with this idea of the First Czechoslovak Republic, for him it was really to go to other European countries and to see what is that the Czechoslovakia shares with them in terms of arts, in terms of literature, in terms of cultural origins, so to say, and cultural identity. So it was didactic, but it was also, I would say, aesthetic, because his travel pieces are very poetic. He also uses a lot of illustrations, which I find incredibly interesting. So these illustrations should be also treated as the part of the travel narrative.
I know also he was a keen photographer, amateur photographer. Do any of the photos from his travels, are they still with us, or were they used at that time?
Unfortunately not, and when I was in the archives a long time ago, that was in early 2000s, I actually found some of his photographs from his travels, but that mainly related to his travel to Scandinavia, because he was there with his wife Olga Scheinflugova. They went on a honeymoon, so there were some photos of them, but unfortunately, no, he didn't use any of them in his travel pieces, only illustrations which he drew.
You say in your book that his travel writing was, and I quote, innovative and unique. In what sense was it those things?
It was very much unique because he merged very much visual arts and also the text. Because, as I said, he drew a lot of illustrations. And when you look at his illustrations, they correspond to the text very much, or they even challenge the text. So they make the text very experimental, which is very much, I think, again, in accordance with the avant-garde poetics of the period. And then when you look at the scholarship about travel writing, not really many people deal with illustrations because they're always considered something obvious, something that is supposed to be there, something maybe childish or, you know, childlike. But the text itself is quite, I would say, poetical, many times fragmented. There are also many interactions between the visual and the textual part. And in this way, I think what Čapek is doing is that he's following this, you know, the Western European poetics of the period, and what many other travel writers were doing as well. So they were combining the visual arts and the textual element, so the traditional travel writing, so to say.
One fact that absolutely jumped out at me in the book was that the Czechoslovak Ministry of Foreign Affairs generously funded Čapek's travels. Why did they do that?
Well, I didn't do a lot of research about that. I think Andrea Orzov, who is a Czech scholar, historian from Oxford, did something about it. I think it was because, you know, at that time, the first Czechoslovak Republic emerged after the First World War, and it was the time when, you know, the Czechs and Slovaks got some sense of their own national identity. So I think if you wanted to promote your country abroad, then you should also promote your culture, you should also promote your literature and arts in general. And there were many exhibitions abroad which were actually funded, you know, partially or fully by the Czechoslovak Foreign Ministry. So this is, I think, why also Čapek was generously supported on his travels
by the
Czechoslovak government.
It was a kind of cultural diplomacy that he was engaged in.
Absolutely. So this was a time of cultural diplomacy, because I think the first Czechoslovak government was really trying to position Czechoslovakia on the map of Europe, not only in political terms, but also in cultural terms. So, you know, the Czechs and Slovaks had to actually show what they have and what is, you know, what is it that they actually share with Europe. So when Čapek traveled, as I said, he was really looking for these artistic undercurrents. And even, for instance, when he goes to Spain, then he notices, you know, the cultural heritage from the time of the Habsburg monarchy. And then he says, well, this is something which I saw in my own country. This is something that we share. So we all belong to this big, you know, community of nations.
And what sense do you get from his travel writing of his own relationship to Europe?
I think he would be very much against Brexit if he lived in the 21st century. I think that he was, you know, when people talk about him, scholars and, you know, the readers alike, then we all like to talk about Čapek in terms of him being an anti-fascist, which he definitely was. So all of his works have a very strong political message. But I actually think that he appreciated European cultures very much. He appreciated European literatures very much. And he was trying to show that the Czech culture and literature is also European because, you know, because of its language and because of its heritage, it can just be the same as any other developed European country. So there was a big, big, big appreciation. And it's quite interesting, if you read his travels to Scandinavia, then he was actually going there to find out what it is that makes the so-called Germanic race anti-fascist. It was his reaction, so to say, to the Second World War, which was on the horizon. So he was looking for the positive traits of all European cultures and nations.
And does he write anything concrete about specific encounters with the then, I guess, emerging fascism?
He does mention in Italy, he actually mentions fascist marches. He sees people in black uniforms, and he ridicules that. And then when he goes to Scandinavia, he has some remarks about, you know, the purpose of his travel to go and to, now I can't really quote it verbatim, but he's actually saying that he is going there really to find out what is it that makes this Germanic race great? Not the fascism, but all other things. So there is fascism, or, you know, this anti-fascist message implied in his travel writings as well.
As well as his books of travel writing from around the continent and from the UK, he also wrote, mm-hmm. or rather, there was also a book of his travel writing from Czechoslovakia that came out after his death. Can you tell us anything mm-hmm. about that collection?
Yeah, that is quite interesting because he was traveling a lot through Czechoslovakia and particularly through Slovakia as well. And he wrote short travel pieces, which I think were also collected or published in the newspapers, but then later on they were posthumously published as a collection. And when you read them, when you compare them with the main travel opus, and it is quite visible that he actually constructed this Czechoslovak landscapes and people and everything he saw according to what he saw in other European countries. So there are many similarities, for instance, between description of Scotland and descriptions of Tatry in Slovakia. There are many references to visual arts, which are almost the same, just like in his main travel writing opus. But then that collection was also edited, and I think at that time it was also used, you know, in the context of rehabilitation of Čapek as being a socialist writer, somebody who really loved his country. So it is also, I think, another very important dimension of his of the reception of his travel opus after the Second World War.
And of course, he couldn't argue because he'd been dead for like 15 years or something.
Exactly, exactly.
And tell us, how well does this writing stand up, or how interesting is it today to read his travel writing, I don't know, like 90 years after it was written?
I still think it is quite relevant. His travel pieces are still being published, and there was just, I think, the latest edition of his travels to England and Scotland was published just a few years back, and our students also like it very much. We even had some essays written about his travel writing and his work in general. And because we do it in a comparative way, which means that we do not teach Czech literature only, but we do Czech literature and culture within European culture and then within global literatures and cultures, then it actually becomes very relevant and interesting, because then you can make comparisons, you can draw links between different influences, different cultural traditions and different cultural heritages. And in this way, I think Čapek's work is still relevant today, because, as you know, many things that he wrote at that time are still relevant now. For instance, The War with the Newts, which is also based, I would say, partially on travel writing tradition, which is the British colonial travel writing, is still very relevant today, especially the story of invasion, which comes from the travel writing tradition.